thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Father God, we thank you so much that you have us here tonight, God. We thank you so much, God, for your name and the power that is within it. And we pray that tonight, God, as I speak, I pray that your power would speak through me, God. I pray that anything that is of me, would it fall on deaf ears. But I pray that anything that is of you, God, would it challenge us? Would it allow us to see your glory and who you are? So we pray all of this in your name. Would you be with us as we continue with our service? Amen. Amen, guys. Hopefully you can all hear me. I'm not using a handheld tonight, I'm using a little clip-on, and I tend to speak with my hands quite a lot, so that's going to be really interesting, so hopefully you can follow along. That's kind of like the teacher in me, like the actions and all. But I am so grateful to be able to be here tonight and to carry on our series that we've been doing in the evenings, which is The Heart of God. And we've been looking at different things, that God's heart is for the lost, and lots of different ideas. And tonight, what I want to talk about is that God's heart is for his creation to reflect. So if you are taking notes, my title is Creation to Reflect. But before we get into that, I have a little question for us. Have you ever been kind of, has someone ever came up to you and said, oh my goodness, you really look like this person? Or, oh my goodness, you really look like your mum, or you really look like your dad, you really look like your granny. Like Joshua Hall, everybody's been going up to him in youth since he dyed his hair, saying he looks like Eminem. You can have a wee look for yourself later. I know that for me, as I was growing up, there was only one person I ever got told that I looked like. And that was that I was the spitting image of my mum. And if you want to compare, she's here tonight, so you can see us later. But we always got told, when I was like 10 years old, people would have come up and be like, oh, Kim, is that your sister with you? And I used to get so annoyed by that, because I was like, I am not a mum. Like, I am 10 years old. I am young and youthful. But now when people come up and say, like, oh my goodness, you look so much like your mum, or I know that mum and I have the exact same laugh as well, because JT always likes to remind me. But I find so much joy in that now, because I love my mum, and I love that we look alike, and we sound alike, and we act alike, because I really love her. So I think if I look like her and I sound like her, well, then I'm great. But I think that there's someone that we all look like, and someone that we all have in common within us. And that is the answer to that is found in Genesis 1. And I suppose this is how I kind of transition into what we're speaking about tonight. In Genesis 1, verse 27, it says this, that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. See, from the beginning of time, we were created in the image of God. And as I kind of go through this tonight, there's no real one scripture that I'm focusing on. I'm probably going to be jumping about places a bit. But from the beginning, we have been created in the image of God. Being made in the image of God means that we have been designed to reflect God's character. And from the very beginning, reflecting him has been who we are. It has been woven into our DNA and built into our design. You see, in the garden, it came really naturally for Adam and Eve to reflect, to sound, and to look like God, because they lived in perfect relationship with him. They walked with him. They were surrounded by his presence. And as they looked towards God, they started to reflect his heart. They cared for his garden. They cared for each other. And most importantly, they cared for him. But then the fall happened and sin entered the world. And what once was so natural became so difficult. However, just as a little side note, I want us to remember that just because sin entered the world never meant that we weren't created in God's image. Sin never took that away from us. When we left the garden, instead of looking towards their creator, people began to look elsewhere, and their attention was captured by other things. And we see this throughout the story of Israel. They decided to build idols like the golden calf. They placed their hopes in their kings and in their armies and in politics, rather than simply fixing their eyes on their creator, like they were created to do, like they were designed to do. In many ways, they lost sight of who they were. They lost sight of who they were because they couldn't see whose they were. They lost sight of who they were because they couldn't see whose they were. But within all of that, there was one person who never lost sight, and that was God. God never lost sight of his people. And I don't believe that all of humanity completely forgot about God. There are incredible examples in the Old Testament of people who were faithful and fixed their eyes on God, like Moses and Esther and Daniel and Ruth, people who faithfully sought him and tried their best to push people's eyes towards God. I think that after all, we are made in his image. So there has to be something within us. There has to be a longing within us to want to see something greater. There has to be a longing within us that wants to go back to our Creator. There is something within us that has a deep pull for us to get back to the source. And I don't think for the Israelites or for some of the other people in the Old Testament, I never think that the problem was a longing of absence. But I think it was that people decided to look for fulfillment in the wrong places. They started to look for fulfillment in the things that were tangible. And then we have Jesus who came. Jesus stepped into the divide that sin had created. He became the tangible. And through his life, his death, and his resurrection, he made a way back to the Father. He became the sacrifice for sin. He tore the veil in two, and he restored access to God's presence. You see, Jesus came to save sinners like me and like you, and he came to remind us of who we are, whose we are, and what we were created for. Jesus came to remind us of who we are, whose we are, and what we were created for. John 10:10 says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." There is a guy called John Piper, and he talks about us being created in the image of God, and he has this quote, and he says, "Images are created to image. Images are created to image. If you create an image, you want people to look at it, notice it, and think about it." And I think when God created us in his image, he wanted people to look at us, he wanted people to notice us, and he wanted people to think about something within us. When God created us, he created us to display and reflect who he is and what he is like. And this is what the salvation that Jesus offers begins to restore. When we encounter Jesus, I think two things happen. I think first we see the glory of God, we encounter who he is, and then secondly, we begin to reflect it. We begin to live in a way, to act in a way, and to speak in a way that brings all the attention back to God, because we are being transformed. And I think a perfect example of this is Paul in the New Testament. Prior to encountering God, he's known as Saul, and he persecutes Christians. He is driven by pride, self-righteousness, religious zeal. But then on the Damascus Road, he has this incredible life-changing encounter with God. And he becomes a man who once imprisoned Christians to be a man who was willing to be imprisoned for Christ. He used to be a man that spread fear among many, but became a man who spread the gospel among many. You see, first he encountered Christ, and then he began to reflect him. It says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, and we, all beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. You see, it is our birthright as children of God to reflect him, to look like him, to act like him, and to sound like him. And the perfect example of all of this is Jesus. So our question tonight that I want to look at is, what does it look like to reflect him? What does it look like for us to live our lives reflecting God? And my first point is, speak like Jesus. Speak like Jesus. When Christ ascended into heaven, his work here on earth continued. The Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, and the church of God began to grow through witnesses using their words. They proclaimed the gospel, they explained scripture, scripture, they honour and encouraged each other and they communicated with each other. Ephesians 4, verse 15 says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." But you might be thinking, well, how can my words be useful and how can I contribute to the body of Christ? Like, I fumble every time I speak, or I'm not too sure what the right words are to use, or I never know the right timing to bring up God. Well, you see, I think, and I'm very much in that boat because I stumble over my words literally every day and mix them around the wrong way. But I think that our answer cannot be found in our own ability. It can't be found in our own ability to think of the right words. It can't be found in our own ability to say the right things. It is all simply found in Jesus. And I think something that can really help us on that is scripture. You see, 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." I believe that as we read, as we study, as we devour God's word, our speech will begin to reflect that. It will begin to reflect the time that we have spent with Jesus. Our speech will gradually become more graceful, more wise, and bold. We've all heard the saying, the more time you spend in something or with someone, the more you begin to reflect it. And I know that that's very true to me. JT and I have been living up here for about 2 years now. And every time I go home, I see mum and dad or I see my friends or see anybody. And they're like, "Holly, you're picking up a wee twang there." And I'm like, well, of course I am. I live up there. I'm surrounded by it. Like, I always use the excuse that school, all the kids in school have a really strong, thick accent, and that's where I pick it up from. But I don't really know why I have. But yes, it's so easy to pick up things the more you spend time in things. So, and we see this in Acts. We read about the transformation of Peter and of John. And Peter, kind of before Acts happens, kind of just before Jesus is crucified, we see him as this really card, Belfast there. I'm now going back the way. But we see him as this really card man. He kind of denies Jesus 3 times. And then we find him in Acts with John, and he is preaching the gospel, and he is healing lame beggars. He is doing all these incredible things. And he has just healed a lame beggar, and he's just spoken to a large crowd. And he's then brought before the Sanhedrin, which is a religious group of people. And they see him and John, and they label them as uneducated, common men, until they begin to speak. They begin to testify and explain what happened. And it says that after hearing Peter, the rulers, elders, and scribes took note that these men had been with Jesus. They had ruled them out. They were uneducated, common men. What can they know? What can they do? And then they began to speak. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. You see, our answer isn't found in our own ability. Our answer is found in Jesus. We have been created in the image of God, and God's heart is that we grow in our knowledge of him, and that he would transform our speech in that our speech would become full of faith, full of truth, full of encouragement, and full of worship, and that we would begin to impart then that truth onto others. That we would use our speech to share the good news, that we would use our speech to honour and encourage others around us. We need to speak like Jesus. We have been created to reflect God's heart, and we are to reflect him in our speech. But if we are to be God's image bearers, then it will require just more than our speech. It will require our actions as well. When Jesus came, he didn't just come to tell everybody about God, but instead he showed it. He showed us who God was. So my second point is act like Jesus. Act like Jesus. There is a really well-known phrase that we all know, that actions speak louder than words. And you see, words do matter, and words are so powerful, and that they can encourage and heal and inspire others. But sometimes if our actions do not match up to our words, people will always remember. And sometimes people will always remember our actions, but they won't so much remember our words. I've already shouted out my mum, so I thought I'd shout out my dad this time. My dad is a man who lives this phrase out, that actions speak louder than words. Every time JT and I go down to visit mum and dad, we come home with about, I don't even know, 2, 3, 4, 5 bagfuls of things that my dad has collected over time. You see, my dad has been out, and they're never anything extravagant or massive, but they're just little things that as he's been in work, that as he's been out walking, he's seen and he's thought of us and thought, they would really like that. Or actually, JT loves coffee, he will love that. Or the newest thing is chicken. They love chicken, so he brings us bags of frozen chicken all the time. Which is really grateful. Keep doing that, Dad, because it is really nice. I do like it. But yes, my dad doesn't need to tell me that he's been thinking about me because his actions already show it. His actions have already spoken louder than his words ever could, because his actions have shown me that while he's in work, he has thought of me, that while he's out in the shop, he has thought of me. He loves me that much that he is continually thinking about me. You see, our actions carry weight. And I think some of us have maybe forgotten that, that our actions carry weight. We need to make sure that our words match up to our actions. If we want to learn to reflect God, we must then turn to the perfect image, which is Jesus. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 1 to 2, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Jesus gave us an amazing lifestyle to try and interpret. He consistently modelled a life centred on God and poured out for others. And he showed us what reflecting God's heart looked like. And I don't have time to read it all, but in Mark 6 is where we see Jesus feed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We then see him go and retreat in the private. He sends his disciples off and he goes and retreats into the private where he prays to his Father. He then comes back. He sees his disciples struggling in a boat and he walks on water to meet them. And he kind of guides them and helps them in that moment. And I think that in that kind of passage, I want to pull out 3 things, 3 actions that Jesus does that speak louder than words. So the first one is hospitality. See, the crowds had been following Jesus all day. They were tired and hungry. Excuse me. And Jesus saw the people. And rather than sending them away and telling them to go sort yourself out, you're all tired and hungry, like, just leave me alone, I'm done too, he has compassion on them. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish and he feeds over 5,000 people. And we see through Jesus' ministry that he constantly pours out compassion on others. He constantly welcomes people to the table. He ate with tax collectors, sinners, outsiders, his friends, and those that society rejected. Hospitality for Jesus was always making room, even when it was inconvenient. Hospitality of Jesus was always making room, even when it was... So how can we then make room? Do we serve in church? Are we inviting neighbours for dinner? Are we volunteering in our community? Are we visiting people who are lonely? Are we listening to the unheard? Are we encouraging those that are struggling? Hospitality is always about opening up our lives. The second thing I think in that passage that I want to pull out from Jesus' actions is prayer. Immediately after feeding the crowd, Jesus sent his disciples and he went alone to pray on a mountainside. Jesus has just performed one of the greatest miracles of his ministry, and to celebrate his success, he seeks the Father's face. In Luke 5, verse 16, it highlights to us that this was a pattern of Jesus. It says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So if the Son of God withdrew to lonely places and prayed and needed regular time with the Father, how much more do we? You see, Jesus never saw prayer as an interruption, but he saw it as the source of his ministry. He never saw prayer as an interruption. It was always the source of his ministry. So how often are you making time to seek God's face? How often do you sit in his presence and listen? As I've said previously, you become what you spend time with. And I think that for us to reflect God's heart well, we need to spend time in prayer with him. The final thing I want to pull out of Jesus' actions here is discipleship. We see that after he has prayed, he came to his disciples. He sees them struggling against the wind and he walks out to meet them, to encourage them and to help them in that moment. You see, even after a long day teaching, he still invests in people. Throughout his ministry, Jesus pours into his disciples. He teaches, corrects, encourages, challenges, and walks with them through everything. In Matthew 28, we get Jesus' final command to us: go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus understood the value in discipleship. Discipleship is learning to follow Jesus alongside others. Because you see, we were never designed to follow Jesus in isolation. When God created us in his image, he created us male and female. When Jesus walked the earth, he didn't walk alone. He chose 12 men to come with him on the journey. So who are you journeying with? Who is helping you become more like Jesus? Who are you investing in? Reflecting Jesus isn't about what we know. It's about how we live through hospitality, prayer, and discipleship. These weren't also just a one-time thing for Jesus. They were his daily rhythms. They were ingrained into his life. And if we are created to reflect the heart of God, then these need to become our rhythms too. So God's heart is that we would speak like Jesus, act like Jesus, and finally, and you can all breathe, that we would live like Jesus. So my last point is, live like Jesus. As you know, I am a teacher, and I'll often find myself discussing siblings in school. I'll say like, oh my goodness, they are so like their brother. And especially like this year, I teach P1 and 2 and P5 and 6, so I teach a couple of siblings. So I'm like, oh my goodness, they sound so much like their sister. They look so much like their brother. And every time I say it, I sound shocked that they would look or they would be different or they would be the same. But of course they are. They have the same parents. They live in the same house. They're probably doing the same activities day in, day out. They're spending time with the same group of people. And in a similar way, when we become Christians, we begin to reflect our Father's attributes. We have been created in his image, and when we spend time with him, it should be noticeable how much we are like him. Just like how much time those siblings spend together, it's noticeable how much they are similar. So for us, the amount of time that we spend with Jesus, it should be noticeable then how much we are like him. In Romans 8, verse 28 to 29, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Paul explains that God's heart is for his children to reflect Christ. It isn't just about an external transformation, so it's not simply just about how we speak or how we act. But reflecting God's heart will also involve a deep internal change, aligning our hearts with the value of God. So to live like Jesus, we need to reflect his love. Love is the central characteristic of Jesus. Jesus loved in abundance, regardless of who it was. He loved his friends, the marginalized, the forgotten, and his enemies. And we are told, we are given one of the commandments in John 13, 34 to 35. It says, "A new command I give to you, love one another, as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." To show love is to be selfless, gentle, compassionate, and forgiving. In the New Testament, there's different Hebrew and Greek words that are used to describe love. And the Greek word agape is used to describe the love God has for us and the love that we have for each other. And agape love is sacrificial love. It's not based on emotional impulse or inclinations. And in 1 Corinthians 13, we are given the definition of what this agape love is. It says, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." That is the love that we are to carry with us everywhere we go. We are to mirror selfless, unconditional, sacrificial love in our everyday actions to everyone that we meet. We're to forgive others, build each other up, and extend kindness. To live like Jesus, we also need to reflect his humility. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8, it says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." We are to reflect Jesus' example. Therefore, we are to emulate his humility. We are to prioritize others above ourselves. Romans 12, verse 3 says, "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment," meaning that we need to think of ourselves as we should. Not too highly, not too lowly, but with sober clarity. We are to live like Jesus, then we need to reflect his holiness. To be holy is to be separate from the world. You see, because we have been made in God's image, and because of Jesus, we are chosen, treasured, and set apart by God. To be holy will mean for us to say no to things that our friends say yes to. It'll mean to say no to parties, to vaping, to swearing, to gossiping. It means for us to stand up to injustice. It means for us to prioritize integrity over popularity. It means for us to give generously with our resources, our time, our finances. It means for us to respond with grace rather than retaliation. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And there is only one way that we can do all of this. And it is by living in complete dependence of our Creator. You see, if we try to do this alone and we try to get through the world alone, we will fail. Nothing we do in our own strength will bring God glory that he deserves. In everything that we do, we are to live a life set apart from the world. We are to be holy, marked by love, humility, and purity. And we are to reflect God's image through our speech, our actions, and our lives. But this is really hard. How am I meant to do all of those things? How am I meant to get it all right for God? I always want to do my best for him, but how can I do it? It's just so much. We still live in a broken world. We still live in a world that makes idols out of celebrities. We still live in a world that makes idols out of things, where people still try to find their hope in worldly things. They try to find their joy in their possessions, within their wealth and their friends. We live in a world where pride gets in our way constantly. We live in a world where distractions overwhelm us. And we live in a culture that wants us to only think about ourselves, doesn't want us to show any weakness. So it becomes really hard to reflect God's heart in that. The pull of the world is really strong. It becomes difficult to reflect God's image perfectly as he deserves. If, as we come to a close, would the band like to join me? I think that we must remember that only Jesus alone is the perfect image of his Creator. Only Jesus alone is the perfect image. As followers of Christ, we are called to reflect Jesus' example. If we think of a sculpture and a sculptor, he chips away at it deliberately and intentionally, trying his best to reveal the masterpiece that he wants. It's a transformational process that involves hard work, grit, and determination. And for us, it's the same thing. Our transformation must be deliberate and intentional. And this process is called sanctification. It's where the Holy Spirit works in us to help us mirror Jesus. We are not in it alone. When Jesus ascended into heaven, we were granted the greatest gift. We were granted the Holy Spirit, who lives within us, who helps us, who guides us, who prompts us. You see, you never, ever do this life alone. You have people around you, but people fail. But there is one that never will fail, that is always with you, that always walks with you. The Holy Spirit is with us to help us look more like Jesus. If we go back to Peter and John before the Sanhedrin, they were known as ordinary men. And then Peter starts to speak. And it says this, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them." Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. You see, it was the Holy Spirit that helped Peter, and it's the Holy Spirit that helps us. The Holy Spirit guided Peter and John, just as the Holy Spirit guides us. In order to live a life in the image of God that we were always created to be, we cannot do it alone. We must rely on the help of the Holy Spirit, who has been sent by God to empower his believers, providing us with spiritual gifts, spiritual strength, to know when to speak and act and live more like Jesus. So tonight, let us be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Let us be open for the Holy Spirit working within us. Let us become fully dependent on God and what he wants us to do. Let us cast away our pride. Let us cast away our desires. And let us put our eyes back onto him, the Creator, the one whose image we are made in. We need to become fully dependent on God in order for us as his image bearers to reflect his heart well. If you would like to stand with us. Father God, I thank you that in everything that we do, in everything that we walk through, in every high and every low, in every mountaintop and every valley, you are there with us. I thank you that your Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to help us, to prompt us in moments. And I pray, God, that you would help us this week to look more like you. Would you help us this week to speak more like you? Would our words become bold and more gracious and wise? Would you help us with our actions? Would you help us to have compassion on others? I pray that as we stand here, would you maybe prompt us with things that you want us to do? I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would help us to live like Jesus, that you would help us to walk in love, to walk in humility, to walk in holiness. I pray that we would never let pride get ahead of us, that we would never let it have a foothold on us, that we would never place ourselves above you, but I pray that we would live lives fully dependent on you. I pray that you would remind us that we are made in your image. And because of that, God, you want us. The images always are created to image. I pray that you would help us to image God, to reflect who you are as we go and we live our lives. Would you help us? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.